once again. And he's my Lord. Yes, he's my Lord.
How many receives that right now from him? There's no doubt about it. Everybody in this world has something they look up to, something they get their information from to make a decision, to make their choices. We have one Lord, and that's the one we're getting all our information from. Thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 118. We'd like to love seeing Brother Luik here with us. It's always a blessing. If he keeps showing up enough, after a while, we'll just see him here all the time, won't we? Yeah. Hallelujah. Don't come to America, brother, whatever you do. It's not what they say. Amen. We all know that we come from another country, all of us do, don't we? Amen. That's what we were singing about. And it's not Canada either, right? It's not Canada, but we're nearing that country where we're from, and as each day goes by, it gets more familiar to us all the time. And isn't it weird how America is becoming less familiar? You know, too many Christians are just absorbing. However it's evolving, they're evolving with it. As a Christian, we don't evolve with this world. We don't evolve with America. We are moving away from that. We're more and more pilgrims and strangers than ever. Foreigners, because we certainly are more connected with the country we're originally from than this country we're here living in. Amen for that. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Maybe we can sing that after, but let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we've read your word, and we know what's on the menu. We have an idea. We don't know how good it tastes yet, but we've put in the order. We come here, Lord, expecting. We come here desiring. Something in our heart is just reaching out and calling. A deep, deep, deep is calling into you. And there's a deep, deep, deep in you to respond. Lord, it's impossible for us to desire a deeper experience from you if that experience doesn't exist. But because there is the potential, because within you there's a deep hunger, then you put within us a deep hunger. And Lord, we know what we've experienced days ago, weeks ago, months ago, years ago. We know what we've experienced. That's wonderful. But today is a new day. And we come before you hungry and longing and desiring something greater, something deeper, something that can have a deeper impact upon us. Granted, Father God, we pray, satisfy the longing of our soul, and only your word can feed the hunger of that holy hunger that we have from within. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How many here can say, thank God I am free. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't feel like people are free today. You know, people feel like they're free. They feel like they can join some big group of people that are going to go protest, because that's freedom. Freedom America. It's like they're under an anointing. And I explained that to one of my family members because they were trying to figure out why do people do that? And I said, it's an anointing. They're not really in charge of it. They can't really. That's why there's so much passion and so on. It's because of that anointing. And, you know, that's the day that we're living in. But we're under a different anointing. Amen. You know, and it's one that doesn't allow us to get caught up. And oh no, what's happening in politics? Oh no, what's happening in our country? Oh no, what's happening in the world? We don't have to get, nothing allows us to get caught up in that, because we're seeing the end. We see how it's all going to come out. It's not fatalism. We don't just simply go through this world saying, oh, well, the whole world's going to blow up anyway. That's what the Bible says. So who cares? This is a discussion I was having with this particular family member, and they were talking about how they believe in there is really, truly climate change, and people need to do something about it. And, you know, it's amazing. Imagine if we could, I mean, that supposedly it's so bad that it's, we're almost too late to even fix it. So imagine if we can fix it and it straightens out and they take all the measurements in the next 30 years and suddenly things are better. Wouldn't that be great? And then all of a sudden a radical dictator pushes a red button and just blows the whole thing up. Right, right. So I mean, it's like you win one place, you lose somewhere else, you know. It's almost like, why don't we deal with the clear and present danger first, and the rest of it we can deal with as well. But on the other hand, I kind of agree with some of that stuff. And I've told people, I said, look, I'm not political. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. To me, you always end up with two teams, opposition, and neither one of them is right. They're too far left or they're too far right. And usually the answer is right straight down the middle of the road. I can pluck things out of both sides that I think is great and I agree with and we should do. So for example, to give you an example, the Bible does say, God will destroy those who destroy the earth. So it plainly tells us man has power to destroy the earth. And probably the flood itself, which appears to be a judgment of God, was a judgment of God allowing man to, who was tinkering with the things they shouldn't have been, to do something and cause the flood to happen. So there we're at that point again. Other places, think of the scripture where God teaches Israel lessons about the earth that he doesn't tell any other nation. He teaches Israel to rotate crops. Have every seventh year be a year that you do not work the earth. Let it rest. Whatever comes up, harvest it. But otherwise, let it rest. Don't run a till on it. Don't put cattle on it. Leave it alone. Every 7 years, Israel figured out a way to get around it. They were greedy. They wanted production. And they just bypassed God's instructions, which was really a blessing for them. They felt like it was bondage. Oh, I got to do what God wants. But it was a blessing. In the end, it was producing more for them than the way they were doing it. And so what did God do? He let them be dragged away into Babylon for 70 years. Does anybody know why God chose 70? Because God says you wouldn't let the land rest for the seventh year. So now I'm going to give the land 70 years without you on it. Go read the scriptures. It's powerful. Do you think God cares about the earth? Apparently he really does, if he's going to put that much judgment on them, but he cares about us, and we just need to obey him and sometimes not know exactly why he's having us do something, but do it anyway because he has a bigger reason than we can understand. So I want to take this a thought this morning, or this evening rather, I don't know what world I'm in right now, as this is your day, you know, and I desire that this will help us to wake up every morning with a totally different approach than how we normally do it. How many here has to wake up at 9 o'clock in the morning? Someone wishes it. How many here has to wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning? I got some honest answers. That's cool. How many here has to wake up at 7 o'clock? Anyone has to wake up at 6 o'clock? Anybody? You wake up when you feel like it? Okay. So you have to wake up at 6. You have to wake up at 6:30, right? Some of you have different times that you wake up. Some people wake up at 5, 5:30, 4. Crazy times. Right? Sister Rebecca has to go make the bread. So she has to wake up at whatever time in the morning. I don't know. But here, I want you to change the way you think. You do not have to wake up at 4 or 5 or 6 or 7. You get to. Hallelujah. Didn't that just change your mind? You get to wake up. Some people say, oh, that's an ungodly hour. You know, Brother Dan says the best time to wake up is like 3 or 4 in the morning. The demons are all sleeping. Devils are all asleep. You know, and he says you have direct access to heaven. Isn't that awesome? We get to wake up at 4 in the morning. That's awesome. I always tell people, look, God said it this way, the evening and the morning were the first day, and morning is judged by when the sun rises, right? So 4 o'clock in the morning, the sun isn't up yet. It's not morning. It's still evening. So I don't believe in that. You know, 3 o'clock in the morning, what's that? That's not morning. That's how we've made it up. But my point I'm making here is this is the day that the Lord has made. Every day is the day that the Lord has made. He has created it. He has fashioned it. It is a clean, apparently to us, a clean slate. It is a clean white canvas ready to be painted on and a masterpiece to be created. Now, God knows the end from the beginning, so he already knows how that masterpiece is going to unfold because he, in fact, designed that day. God designed today. He already designed tomorrow. All right, I want you to see this in the scripture. How many likes it when you hear it from the Word of God, right? You can either hear it from the horse's mouth or you hear it from the Word of God. I guess I'm the horse, right? So we'll go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 3. You're all very, very familiar with it. I love this scripture. Isn't it wonderful? Hebrews 11, this whole entire chapter, powerful. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. How many here realize if you want to have a good testimony before God and in heaven, it's going to take faith. Amen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by things which are visible. The things which are seen are made by things that are invisible. Hallelujah. In the original Greek, the word for world there is not cosmos, it's another world, eon, which actually means ages. So if you read that properly, and it will make sense for the rest of the entire chapter, it says, by faith we understand that the ages were prepared by the spoken word of God. God designed every single age, every single day, every single minute. God created it. He spoke it into existence. He created time as a great dimension. He created it and he framed it and he prepared it. Even preparing this day today and tomorrow has already been prepared by God. Amen? Each day is already designed by God. And it's something that David said we should rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. That's why when somebody says, I'm having a bad day, I look at them a little cross-eyed because I don't understand what they're talking about. Anybody guilty of that? Do you know what you do when you say that, though, is you're actually overriding God. You're overriding the program of the day and setting it, in, at least in your world that you're living in, as it's a bad day. And around you, it's raining and everybody else is in sunshine. Because you said it was a bad day, and it is for you. But it doesn't mean it's for everybody else. Isn't that amazing? What if you just say, you know what, it isn't a bad day. It's a great day. It's an awesome day. This is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. We cannot tell God that he made junk, ever. So we can never blame the day like it has some kind of power to give us a bad experience. Every day for the believer is a good day. Hallelujah. Like somebody once said, if I wake up and I'm breathing, it's a good day and the rest is just gravy. The rest is just frosting on the cake. Hallelujah. It's a good day. So God prepared before the world ever began, before anything was ever created, God had already framed, even in his mind, every single day. He knew the end from the beginning. He knows every single day. He knows every hair on your head. He knows how many falls out and knows where they're at. That's pretty crazy, right? God knows everything about you. He knows every day, and he designed that day, and he made sure that you were born to live in this age. Because you could have been in some other age, but you're here. You're living in this age. You know, it's not just the body that you're living in. That's just the vessel. The spirit could have been born in a different body in a different age. But God chose you to be here today. Yes, amen. Why? How many's ever thought about, boy, it'd be nice to kind of live back then, or boy, that would have been cool to live in that time frame. But you're here. And as Brother Branham worded it, he said, a couple things he said, but he says, you're living in a day when it's a very wicked age, but he says, this is also the golden age. For the believer, it's a golden age. He said, in eternity, God had laid it out in his mind what was going to happen, and if he asked me the question, where do you want to go? He says, I would have chosen this age. You know, and so he says things in a way that's really powerful because it shows you that there's something in you that's determined or that is predetermined by God to be here in this age. Think about Esther. You know, Esther was talking to Mordecai and she was saying, I don't know if I should do this. If I walk before the king, he has killed other people for doing it. If I do it, it could be me. I could die. And Mordecai says, maybe it's possible. But if you don't do something to try and save the Jews, God will raise up some other way to save us. But how do you know if this is not a day that you have come to the kingdom in such a time as this? See, it's really a concept of you have come to this world at this moment, in this time frame, for a purpose. You have something to accomplish. You're not just here by chance. You're not just here to grow up, go to school, get a job, get a license, drive a car, go to work, get married, have children, grow old, retire on a big fat pension, and die. Sorry, the pension part was made up because you can't get that anymore. But anyway, same story. You're not here for that. That is not why you're here. You have been chosen by God for a grander purpose than that, something bigger. Amen. That he has chosen you for. He has made this day for you. He has designed the very day for you. Amen. It's a wicked day, Brother Elijah. I don't want to be here. Every time I turn around, there's something disgusting here and there and people's attitudes. And I don't want to be around here anymore. That's why you're here. That is the reason why you're here. No one else could have done it. Martin Luther would not have done it. He would not have made it in this age. You might not understand that, but that's a fact. God designed this age around you, and he designed you for this day. You're here for a divine purpose of God. And saints, honestly, Brother Branham made it very clear when he preached the message as he came across this understanding and the depth of it, and he preached a message called Recognizing Your Day and Its Message. You must understand, the message does not give you the word. The message pulls the word out of you. There's been messages and messages and gospels and people preach all through the ages trying to clarify the Bible, and they were looking at the wrong target. The Bible is simply a mirror. It is to pull the word out of you. That's what it was meant to do. That's why when someone misinterprets the Bible, it won't pull the right thing out. It misses it. But when God sends a messenger who brings the absolute correct revelation out of the Bible, it is a clear mirror that you begin to see who you really are in Jesus Christ. It brings it out, and you recognize your day and its message. Your message is who are you in Christ? Your message, hallelujah, is Jesus in a bride form. How many here can adapt to that? How many here says, yeah, that's me? It's a bride coming of Christ. How many can say, that's me? It's the bride in a word form. How many can say, that's me? Hallelujah. The word is coming out of me. I can't stop it. That's what the message came to do. It's to bring the word out of you so that what's in you is matching what's right here in this book. They come together. Hallelujah. John 7:29. And this is really the direction, the thought that I want you to catch. Because it will change the way you think. Hopefully that's already happening, but changing the way you think about your existence here on earth. Now, how many knows Jesus was conceived one day and supernaturally, and he was born and he came to the earth and he was a little baby and he grew up as a little boy, went to school and did all that and finally became a young man and so on. How many understands that about Jesus, right? But notice how Jesus speaks about himself. John 7:29. But I know him, speaking of God. He says, for I am from him, and he sent me. That's powerful. When prophets in the Bible and the Old Testament said, I'm sent from God, or sent of God, or an angel might say, I'm sent from God. You know, that's pretty immediate. Prophets will say, I'm sent from God. They're speaking about the day that they recognize their own anointing, their filling, maybe of the Holy Spirit, and or catching up in a vision and began to see their ministry, and they began to have the concept of, hey, I'm anointed and I'm sent, you know. But when Jesus is speaking about sent, the way he's wording it, he's going all the way back to before he was ever on earth. I come from a heavenly place, and I ended up here, and I'm going back. See, the calling on earth happens, and then it ends, and then, you know, whatever happens in eternity happens. But the fact is, Jesus uses this powerful word, I am sent. I want to show you another place. So this is John 10. All through John and all through the Gospels, really, Jesus repeats over and over, I am sent, over and over again. But it's different than the prophets who were talking about, because of the anointing and the calling they are sent. God called men, God trained men, God sent men, right? That's how it works. But when Jesus is speaking about being sent, he's not talking about just the day he came out of the water and a dove came on him, and now he's sent. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Watch what happens here. So it's John 10:36, where we read these words. Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? So what is he saying there? He's saying that he's not only sent, but he's sent into the world. This is a bigger meaning than simply sent to Israel or sent to this nation or sent to do this or sent for a certain task. He is saying, I was sent into the world as a son of God. How many here could say, as a daughter of God, as a son of God, you could say, hey, I am also sent into this world. Really, it's we emphasize our birthdays and all that stuff, but realistically, saints, the day that you were born was actually the day that you were sent. You know, your body was made by your parents, but the spirit that entered that body came from God. Jesus said, I come from eternity, I return to eternity. So about what about you? Can you say amen? I come from God and I return to God. See, so you're really sent from eternity into time. Even Brother Branham says when there's two believers who are in love and they get married, he says, just remember that's eternal mates in glory. You know, they came from somewhere and they matched up in time, and then they're going to go back into eternity together. Hallelujah. Powerful. So, saints, the truth of the matter is, what we learn from this is you cannot know your destiny until you know your origin. You just simply cannot. You cannot grasp how you will end up if you do not understand where you came from. And thank God for this truth of this hour that we have. I didn't come from my mom and my dad. I didn't come from my grandparents. Genetically, physically, okay. We could draw the line. But even God was still even involved in that. Even your natural birth is predestinated by God. It's more of a miracle than the virgin birth that you're here in this body. But your spirit, where that came from, your inner being, where that came from, what I'm talking about there is something beyond eternity. Before there was even angels, you existed. You existed in the mind of God. With God, his thoughts are not fleeting things that come and go, and then you forgot what you were thinking about just a minute ago. That's us. With God, he doesn't forget those thoughts. You know, he was constantly, eternally thinking of you. And he wasn't thinking of you, oh, I can just picture down through the stream of time when there's going to be an earth, there's this guy named James that I'm going to have, and he'll be in the last age. This isn't the way God is thinking of you, Brother James. God has a literal, living, breathing thought in his mind, which is you. You understand that? Big difference. Big difference than looking down the stream of time and hopefully Brother James makes a good decision, otherwise God's going to have to reject him. And Brother James makes the right decision and God sees in eternity, okay, I'm going to go ahead and redeem him because he made the right decision. None of us will ever get before Almighty God in heaven and have anything to gloat about or to boast about or to say, I made the right decision and then God chose me. I made a good decision to receive salvation. None of us. Salvation isn't something that you experienced a couple of years ago or became reality to you a couple of years ago. It was something that God had ordained for you in eternity. You were already saved, but you experienced by the Holy Spirit that salvation. It became a part of you. It took over your life. Amen. But something in you was already saved. It was just lost. Is it possible to be lost and saved at the same time? Sure. It was lost not in the sense of from your experience, but it was lost from God's experience. See, God was looking at you being lost. But Jesus was God's way of redeeming what was lost. Jesus said, I am sent to the lost sheep of God. Hallelujah. Notice, lost sheep. You are already sheep. You didn't know you were. You were acting like a goat. You were acting like a bully. You were acting like a wolf. But you were a sheep. And you were lost. And Jesus came and the Holy Spirit came and got a hold of you and brought you to the Calvary. And you discovered that you're a sheep. Well, that's the end of being lost, isn't it? Because my sheep will hear my voice and they can't follow a stranger. Hallelujah. I come from eternity. And I return to that place. I come from God. I return to God. And God said this, his word will not return to him void. I will not return to God void. I will return fulfilling what he called me to do. I am here on this earth to fulfill my destiny. Saints, I'm just going to tell you right now, my purpose on earth is to fulfill my destiny. It's not to fulfill yours. So get out of my way. Because I'm fulfilling mine. Don't stand in my way. Don't try to block me. And don't ask me to try to fulfill your destiny. That's your job. Hallelujah. This is my job. That you've got to do what you're called to do. I'm going to do what I'm called to do. I will help you. I'll work with you. As long as you're actively pursuing your destiny, I'm going to link arms with you. And I'll help you get there. But don't expect me to drag you along the way. I'm not going to do it. God won't even do it. God will not drag you to your destiny. That's right. It's up to you to say, okay, Lord, I'm ready for you to get me there. And then he'll get you there. But you've got to be willing and ready and able to get out there and make it happen. This is about you recognizing your day. How many can say, thank God I'm living in this day? And on the one hand, it's a horrible day. On the other hand, light doesn't shine that well in brightness. It shines better in darkness. God's creating the law of contrast all around us so that you will shine brighter. God's allowing these vessels of dishonor to be around so that the Bible says to show up the vessels of honor. When you see bad women around, stripped down, showing themselves, making themselves cheap, then when a good woman walks around, it's amazing. They might say, oh, that's old fashioned. She looks old fashioned. Oh my. But really in their hearts, something is echoing back and forth of God's conviction, that's a real woman. That's a real person of God. Or a man, a young man, you know, that's really serving God, doesn't laugh at the perverted jokes and doesn't go around. So God lets that show up by having all the negative around to show up the positive. It's exciting, isn't it? I'm glad I can be part of that. This is a blessing to God. It pleases him. He loves it. He loves it. It's at our expense to a certain extent, but on the other hand, what were we anyway? We were just nothing but a pile of junk or yunk, you know, and it took a couple of nuts to make the yunk make sense, right? So it's okay. We're here. We make the world make sense. You take us out and the whole thing will collapse. So we're here for one job and one job only, and that's to recognize your day and fulfill your destiny. Can you say amen? So make sure you understand. If you're struggling with your career, if you're struggling with your family, if you're struggling with relationships or your personal life, something going on where you're not sure how it's going to turn out, take a hold of the Word of God. You're not here to just struggle. You're here to overcome. You will wrestle, but you will overcome. You have to. You cannot be defeated. So don't let that so overwhelm your mind. Let the mind of Christ keep superseding all your thoughts that says, I will make it. I have a destiny. I'm going to accomplish it. I'm going all the way to the resurrection. I'm going all the way to the body change. I am going to be changed. I'm going to stand before my Jesus. Hallelujah. I will make it. Oh, but Brother Elijah, I struggle with so many things. Stop worrying about it. It's a struggle, but you're struggling. If you weren't, then I'd be worried. If you said, Brother Elijah, my life's easy, I'm floating along, I'd say, well, you're not standing for much then. Because as soon as you choose holiness, as soon as you choose God, as soon as you make the decision, I'm going to church. Even tonight, you go to church, you've got the enemy coming after you. So many times you could have been hit by a car. So many times you could have, you know, just the car could have failed. All kinds of things the devil's going to try to do to trip you up. As soon as you do that, as soon as you take a position, Satan comes against you. You know, if you really stand for truth and you really speak truth to power, all kinds of evil will rise up against you and try and persecute you. That's scripture. And that's okay, because that's a bit of a measurement that you're on the right track. Okay, I'm on the right track. I'm on the right track. Hallelujah. Just remember, this is your day. This day was designed by God so he could display his living word in full color. And that's you. The rest of the world is black and white, but you're full color. The rest of the world is gray and muted, but you are brightness shining for Almighty God. How many loves him with all your heart? I do too. Absolutely blessed. Holy Spirit just putting that in my heart this whole week. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. So, Lord, what does that mean? Why are you putting that on my heart? This is the day the Lord has made. And then he just asked me, when did I make it? So I just thought, you know, as soon as you wake up, he's made a new day. Yay! He said, no. No, no, no. I don't just make things when I feel like it. I'm not that kind of a person. I am not haphazard. I designed this day specifically for you to do something amazing. Doesn't that change the way you feel and think? So you go to bed tonight knowing tomorrow, Lord, I'm so excited. Tomorrow's a brand new day. It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. And you know, it really, in God's reckoning of time, you're already in the new day. Do you realize that right now, it's Thursday? That's Jewish reckoning. Evening and morning are the first day. Evening and morning, evening. As soon as the sun goes down, the next day starts. That's why they celebrate the Sabbath Friday night. I was asking my friend, Sabbatarian, he's a Seventh-day Adventist. I said, when do you guys go to church? They go, we go on Saturday morning. I said, well, if you're really going to follow the Bible, you should be going Friday night. Because Friday night is Saturday. Why is that important, Brother Elijah? It's important because God is an amazing God who loves to take out of the material of chaos, of nothingness, out of darkness, and create light, order, structure, purpose, and then start it over again. Our lives on earth as Christians is a cycle. We have our good times, and it gets a little bit crazy and good and then crazy, right? We have times when we're just super, super serving God, and then, oh, how am I crashing like this? It's okay. It's cycles. It's like Brother Don Gurgle, he once said something I thought was very powerful. He was studying how eagles mount up. You know, the scripture says, I'll mount up with wings as an eagle. The word mount up doesn't mean when the eagle jumps, although that's the beginning of it. He has to catch a thermal wave, and he'll talk about that. But he says, it's not just flying, and it's not flapping wings. And it's a term that he studied it out. He says it's when the eagle catches the thermal winds, I should say, that are bouncing off the earth and going upward. And they just set their wings, and they'll just kind of go round and around. And each time they loop around, they go a little bit higher and a little higher. And a little higher, and then zoom, off they go. It's a really fast and very energy conservative way to fly, to get to where you need to go. Trust in Holy Ghost thermodynamics, thermals. They'll carry you up. And he says the amazing thing is that there's half the time the eagle's facing the sun, and then the other half they're facing darkness. The only way to get to the next level is to go through the dark corridor. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Because the rod and the staff is the thing that's marking out the path in getting to where we're supposed to go. Aren't you excited about that? Saints, do you love the Lord with all your heart? So if you're going to work tomorrow and a boss screams at you, I know Brother Josh never does that, but the boss comes down on you and gives you a hard time, right? Just say, hallelujah, this is the day the Lord has made, Right? If you go to the store, you know, somebody jumps into your parking space, just say, praise the Lord, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm excited. Go find another spot. Ah, good things are next. See, that's what you have to do. You have to emanate from your heart and your mind and your emotions. Good things are coming my way. You have to be in the right state. Brother Branham said this. He said, of all people on this earth, Christians ought to be the most happy, excited people. We have so much for us. And instead, our complaints are false prophecies of negativity that end up becoming reality. It's our own fault. So instead of that, what we have to do, God's designed us to do, is create the very world, not only that you live in, but you get to emanate that world onto others. Right? Put it right on others. Somebody's sitting here complaining, ah, what a rotten day, snow, sleet. And you say, yeah, but though my sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Hallelujah. I love snow. You got to change the whole world you're living in, even people's minds. Do you realize that you come in the name of the Lord, meaning that you're Him? God's a creator. You're a minor creator. You get to come into a situation and don't let that situation control you. You control it. You're designed to do it. You're ordained of God. You're anointed to do it. You control it. Now, for men, you know, us men, we worry as much as women do. Don't be deceived, ladies. You guys just worry out loud and verbally and let your emotions flow out, and we're just like, you know. And the next thing you know, we're going to the doctor because they got all kinds of pains and your body's reacting because you're holding all this stuff in. It's called inner tension. You're just tension. You know, wives, you notice your husband's muscles going crazy, jaw's going crazy. That's all worry. We all are connected with worry, doubt, fear. We struggle with that. We all do. And whether it's female, male, it doesn't matter. We as Christians have one thing to do. Run into the high tower of the name of Jesus Christ, where there's safety and security, and you know who's in charge, and leave it at the feet of Jesus. Let Him deal with it. We've got to get good at this, saints, because Satan is just loving the game that he's playing. Don't let you be the devil's game. Don't allow it. You make him the game. Amen? You make him run around and be freaking out. Let the devil be the fearful one. Turn it around on him. That's what Jesus did. Satan was really trying to get him in the garden there and in different places in the wilderness, trying so hard. He was so worried and worked up, and the devil was just defeated over and over. Every time Jesus just said, it is written. Amen. We got to get good at that. It's not just quoting scripture. It's really coming from your heart. But as sons and daughters of God, as royalty, a divine royalty, we need to understand how to get in the state of attitude. You know, attitude creates atmosphere. Atmosphere creates everything else. And David did it in different ways. Like in the Bible, the Bible says that David stirred himself up. He danced before the Lord. He went a little nuts. Why are you and I all afraid of that? We should. See the world do it all the time? They go nuts when they see some movie star. They start freaking out and fainting. We should be going crazy because you are always, every single day, standing in the presence of Almighty God. Think about that. You're standing in His presence. He's always there. Angels are all around you. A cloud of many witnesses are surrounding you. We got the Apostle Paul, Brother Branham, everybody all around you all the time. We should be all excited about that. Now remember, Brother Branham can be right here, and he can be in China, and he'll be back here, and it can all happen in 55 thousandths of a second. I didn't make that up. He did. That was his term. He said God lives in 55 thousandths of a second. I don't know where that number came from, but it's kind of cool. Who here can divide a second in 55,000 times? That's how fast he moves. So hey, you say, Brother Brandon, that's a little bit weird. No, it's not really weird. Not really weird. Right? In the Bible, the spirit of Samuel came around when Saul called out for it. And that was with a lot more barrier because the spirit of Samuel was in Hades. And since now Hades has been closed down and all of, except for the devil and his children, but all of God's children never go to there anymore. They go to the place called heaven or bliss or sixth dimension, the air, whatever, they're there. They're right near us. We are surrounded by a cloud of many witnesses. They're right there. Angels are nearby. Everything's right at our access. They're there. Now, we don't necessarily, we're not communicating back and forth. That gets a little weird. But if you could hear communication, it would be simply that from that dimension, they would be saying, keep going, run, keep running, win this thing, win this race. If anything, we're being encouraged by the word of God coming from every single dimension that God has his family and he's just saying, go, you can do this. Saints, the Bible says, stir up. Paul said to Timothy, stir up that gift that's within you. We got to get really good at stirring up. The world, people are have passion and so on, but the Christian world, the church, sometimes it's kind of dead. And I'm sorry to say, but sometimes around the ranks of the message, a little bit dead. But we oughtn't to be that way. We need to stir ourselves up. You know, and every time I'm about to do something that takes a lot of pressure and a lot of, you know, it's just bringing to bear yourself as a person, that's the time before that even happens, I stir myself up. And I just start saying, God, I love you. I thank you. You're a God who pours your blessings into my life. You pour your encouragement into me. Right now, you're flooding me with health. You're flooding me with wisdom. You're flooding me with encouragement, strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am here as a mighty conqueror. Hallelujah. I am greater than a conqueror. Hallelujah. You know, those are those things that you just have to pull from that other dimension and it just loads you up with it. You're saying, God, if you would just give me another blessing someday, it'd be wonderful. It was like 20 years ago, and I'm hoping. You're not opening the channel for God. Open it up for him, you know? That's what God is waiting for. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in Christ. And that puts you in that right position where you're standing in a position where you can use the spoken word to create anything that you need for that situation. How many will do that with me? We make that commitment? Amen. Hallelujah. Then that's great. That's wonderful. I expect you to communicate with me once a week. Let me know how you're doing. Once a week, yeah. That gives you plenty of time to learn how to do it. Amen. Once a week is fine. No, seriously, though, we should communicate with each other. And that's part of where testimonies start coming up here. We should have piles and piles of testimonies. So-and-so was completely healed, you know, of whatever, or so-and-so had a friend, sick as a dog, God came down, healed them. These are the things, not only prayer requests, but these supernatural things happening because you created a world that is a creative world. Amen? God bless you. How many appreciates the word of God? Amen. Musicians, please come, and we'll just sing, this is the day that the Lord has made. You know what's so powerful about that scripture? Anyone know what the verse is before Psalm 18? Psalm 118, 24. Anyone know Psalm 18? 118, 23? Anybody know it? The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Hallelujah. Isn't that cool? The very stone that didn't make sense, it didn't seem to fit, it's an oddball, was actually ordained to be positioned in the top position, in the most important place. And those who stumbled over it, even the builders, didn't get it. They stumbled over it. You know, you got to understand, when you stumble over something, right? How many here has a hard enough time when you step on a Lego? Yeah. You say, do Christians say bad words and curse? Well, step on a Lego, we'll see. We'll do Lego testing next Sunday. Shouldn't be, but I have heard, I don't know why, there's some Christians in the message, they use the S word and the F word, and I'm like, how can you do that? I don't understand it. But for some reason, I guess it's from old farming days, that's the kind of language. I would think that the Holy Ghost not only washes out your soul, but kind of washes out your tongue too, your mouth a little bit. Somebody needs to preach on that one. But when they stumbled, they cursed and anger and all kinds of things. Oh, this hurt my foot again. Oh, you know, you got a picture like an example, like it's trying to tell you. And people just begin to hate the stone. because it doesn't make sense. But it ends up being the very stone that sets the whole building in its destiny. That's exciting to me. You know, as you grew up in this world, you didn't really know God at first, and you kept stumbling over this truth, over this message. You stumbled over it. You kept running across God, running across things, maybe running across your mama's prayers, right? But finally, it all makes sense. It was always meant to be a part of you, and now you're a part of it. So let's just sing this song together. This is the day, and let's all stand as we sing it. Amen. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. Rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, rejoice in the Lord.